when I saw a pair of feet sticking out from around the corner, pale, dirty, and covered in dried blood.
Phoebe!
I turned the corner.
No,
I said. I dropped to my knees.
Phoebe!
I picked her lifeless body up in my arms. Her head flopped back, and a stab of pain sliced through my stomach.
No!
I looked to her left. An empty bottle of Jack lay by her side, one that I knew would have been full or nearly full when she'd picked it up. I pulled her closer to my chest and looked at her face. She was still covered in blood, still fucking broken and bruised, and I couldn't fucking take it.
Not again. Not another fucking one.
Phoebe! I shouted, and heard someone come in behind me. I turned, not giving a fuck about the tears running down my face as I held her lifeless body in my arms.
She's hardly got a fucking pulse, I said to Vike.
What was it? He got on his knees beside me. Pills and Jack.
Get her up,
he said. Too many past memories came crashing to my head. Dev, Tina, and now Phoebe.
I couldn't. I can't lose her, too.
Vike's blue eyes met mine.
You ain't going to, brother. I swear, just get her chest up.
Vike's hand slapped across my cheek.
She needs you, Kay. You know how this goes. You know this shit. She needs to puke that shit back up.
He took hold of my cheeks in his hands.
She's still fucking alive. This ain't Dev. She can be saved.
This ain't Dev. His words broke something in me, and I got my shit together. Flipping Phoebe to her front, unable to watch for injuries, I pushed my fingers into her mouth and waited until she gagged. I didn't run for a fucking bucket, and I had to force myself not to look down at the blood between her thighs, or else I'd fucking fall apart. Then a moan came from Phoebe's throat, the fucking small noise sounding like goddamn heaven.
Come on, I urged, and pushed my fingers down further. A choking sound came from her mouth, and then she puked.
I kept going, Phoebe's cocktail of Tylenol and Jack spilling all over the floor.
Get Ryder, I said to Vike.
I leaned down and saw her eyes. They were rolling, fighting consciousness.
You're not fucking dying on me, Red, I said.
Phoebe's eyes opened a fraction.
I ain't letting you go,
I said, just as Ryder came into the room.
OD'd, I said. Think she's got what she can up.
Get her into one of the rooms, Ryder said without missing a beat.
Mine, Vike said.
I picked her up in my arms, watching as she fought for consciousness. I laid her on Vike's bed. Ryder came in seconds later. He pushed a needle straight into her arm and got her hooked up to an IV.
We might need to pump her stomach, Ryder said.
He checked the pulse in her wrist. Then, the one in her arm. Her pulse is strengthening, he looked at me. Was there anything left in her stomach?
Nothing.
I pushed her soiled hair out of her face, fighting not to break again. She needs a bath. I closed my eyes and swallowed against the fucking lump in my throat. Then I looked down between her legs. Her dress still covered her, but the blood was there.
He fucking raped her.
My voice cracked. I was losing the battle with my fucking tears.
Look at the fucking state of her.
I looked at Vike.
How much can one person fucking take?
My hand hovered over her swollen lips and cut face. She was so fucking beautiful. And she wasn't fucking dying on me.
We can't take her to the hospital like this, either her or Saphira.
The cops would be on our asses in seconds, Vike said to Ryder.
You gotta fix them up here. You need anything? Me and Flame will get it for you.
Okay, Ryder said. I held Phoebe as Ryder checked her stats. A long sigh came from his mouth. She's getting back to normal. Her blood pressure is climbing again, and her pulse is getting steady. He got off the bed.
Keep her here overnight so I can check on her while I watch Saphira, too.
Okay. I looked down at my bitch.
Fuck. She had just got her daughter back, and she did this, and then it dawned on me.
She thought she'd lost her, I said, watching Phoebe's sleeping face to make sure she was still breathing.
She thought Saphira had died.
Died saving her. Her mother. When all she ever wanted to do was save her. No one said shit to me in response, but I wasn't really talking to them anyhow. I kissed Phoebe's forehead, feeling the warmth
filling her skin under my lips. Wake the fuck up, Red. I kind of fucking need you. I shut my eyes and pulled her closer. Didn't know when Vike left, but the next time I looked up, the saline was hanging from a metal stand. I laid Phoebe down on the bed and lay down beside her. I took her hand in mine and watched her breathe. And I stayed awake all night, making sure she was breathing. If she was breathing, then she could come back to me. So I fucking watched her breathe. The brothers watched me from the bar as I carried her outside. Flame and Vike were at the truck, waiting. Ash was there too. You good, kid? I watched as he manned the fuck up and nodded. He wasn't. I knew it. I remember my first kill. Dev had given me a whiskey and told me it'd get easier from that day on. And it had. I sat in the back with Phoebe as Vike drove us home. The minute I got in my cabin, I took her straight to the shower, turned it on, and stripped her of her clothes. Her eyes flickered open, searching for me. Gonna wash this shit off you, Red. I placed her down as I shucked off my clothes, too. I took her under the spray and washed her down. She moaned in my arms when the water hit a bruise, and I had to clench my jaw when I got between her legs. Vike had paid some lady doctor to check her and Saphira. She'd said that Meister fucker had scratched her and hurt Phoebe's cunt. Weren't anything lasting. Would just hurt for now. Saphira had been raped, too. Over and over again over months. Which we knew. She gave them shots and tested them for every fucking disease under the sun. Every one came back negative. Thank fuck. So I washed her. I cleaned her until she was my Phoebe again. Red hair bright, and skin like fucking snow. And those freckles. Those motherfucking freckles. I dried her, and took her to the bedroom. Our bedroom. Because this time, she was going nowhere. Not a fucking chance. I climbed into bed beside her, and held my goddamn breath, as she turned to me, and smiled as much as she could through her cracked lips.
You are here too, she whispered. My two great loves with me, happy and at peace.
Her eyes closed, and she sighed.
I could not have dreamed I would be so lucky.
My eyebrows pulled down, wondering what the fuck she meant.
I will introduce you to her, A.K. You will love her.
She laughed lightly.
And she will love you, because you are so easily loved.
She slipped back into sleep, and I laid my head down beside her. I closed my eyes, keeping her hand in mine so she couldn't get away again. And the wait began. The wait for her to return to me, so we could start again.
Chapter 22 Flame. I left Vike's place and walked to my cabin. I opened the door and saw Ash sitting on the couch, staring at the unlit fire. He didn't even look up when I shut the door. His face was pale and his hands were clasped together on his lap. I heard Maddie in the kitchen. I walked past Ash, but he still didn't look up. When I got to the kitchen, Maddie turned. Her face was strange. She was worried. She held her hands out. I took them with mine and pulled her into my chest. Maddie's arms wrapped around my waist. I inhaled her scent and closed my eyes. How is Phoebe? At AK's, I said, but she hasn't woken up yet. And Saphira? Alive. Maddie stepped back and put her hand on her forehead. What a mess. Everything is a mess. Grace is okay. She is shaken and scared, but Lila and Kai are with her. Maddie's eyes shimmered. She was so young to have that happen to her. And Saphira. My bitch took a breath. I know what her life was like. Being forced into that kind of servitude. Maddie, I growled, unable to stop the fucking burning in my veins at the thought. But her eyes went to Ash on the couch. He is young, too. She looked back to me. I do not know what has happened. He would not say. He killed someone today. He saved AK's life. Maddie's lips parted in shock. Her face paled and she looked at Ash again. No wonder he is so lost. She wiped a tear from her eye, then faced me again. She took my hand. You must speak to him. I felt ice fill my chest. I don't know what the fuck to say. Maddie stepped closer until she was up against my body. Her hand came onto my chest.
Flame, you have been there. You have lived this life, which means you have been in this position.
She paused.
What happened to you? How did you cope with it?
AK, I said, thinking back to my first kill. It was a Diablo. We had been on a run when we were attacked. I stabbed the fucker right in the heart. I stabbed him and watched him die. AK sat me down, gave me a whiskey, and told me I would never feel that way again. Feel bad at taking life. That it would get easier.
And did it work?
I didn't feel bad in the first place, I said and watched Maddie freeze, then nod her head. I liked it. It made the flames in my blood not burn so bright. Maddie reached up and brought my head down to hers. She kissed my mouth. Then she took my hand.
But Asher is not like you, Flame. I can see from here that he feels this moment heavily in his heart. I think he is in shock. He keeps staring at his hands.
Maddie kissed my fingers. Bumps broke out on my skin.
He needs you, Flame. He needs his brother.
My heart started beating too fast. I don't know what to say. I'm shit with this stuff. I'll just wait until Phoebe is better and AK is back. He'll talk to him.
He does not want AK, Maddie said, and put my hand over her heart. He wants you. He only ever wants you.
Maddie smiled, but it wasn't a happy smile. It was sad. I didn't like her being sad.
Asher came straight here, Flame, about an hour ago, when you were still at the clubhouse. Here, Flame, not Vikings. He did not pine for AK. He came to our home for you, his brother.
A tear ran down Maddie's cheek.
He came where he felt safe. You made him feel safe.
I wiped the tear from her eye and felt my stomach tighten. I held out my hand. I put my hand on his shoulder. Maddie gasped.
When?
Afterwards. He was being weird. I put my hand on his shoulder. Then I rode next to him all the way home. Maddie's bottom lip shook.
You protected him. Looked after him.
Did I? I furrowed my brow. I made sure he got home. Made sure he rode AK's bike straight. His hands were shaking bad. Maddie smiled as she cried, and this one was a good smile.
He needs you, Flame.
Maddie hugged me again, and I kissed the top of her head.
You see this?
She asked.
This embrace?
I held her close, confused. Yeah.
Asher may need one too.
I fucking froze, every muscle in my body tight. I can't.
You can, she said, then looked up.
I looked down into her green eyes.
Like me, he loves you, and you love him. He is safe for you. He may need to know that he is loved right now. A hug will give him comfort.
Maddie. Maddie pulled back and walked to a cupboard. She took out two glasses and a bottle of whiskey. She poured two glasses, just like AK had done for me years ago. She brought them to me.
You remember what AK said to you?
I nodded. I remembered every word.
Then take one of these to Asher and tell him the same. It will help him. I promise.
I took the glasses from Maddie.
I will be waiting for you in our bedroom.
Maddie, I said again, not sure I could do it.
I love you.
She went into the bedroom, leaving me alone with Ash. The whiskey in the glasses sloshed from side to side. I frowned, seeing my hands were shaking.
You remember what AK said to you?
I thought of Maddie's words, then walked toward my brother. He didn't lift his head until I sat on the couch beside him. I looked into the fire, too. Nothing to see but burnt ashes. Clenching my jaw, I thrust out my hand in Ash's direction. "Here," I said, holding out a glass of whiskey. Ash didn't do shit for ages, but then he took the glass from my hand. His fingers touched mine. They were ice cold. They were shaking. I heard his breathing. It was weird, stuttered, and low. I glanced to the side and saw his head was down. He held the whiskey in his hands, not drinking. "Drink," I said. Ash looked up. His cheeks were pale as fuck, and his fucking eyes were wet. Tears were running down his face. My gut twisted. I didn't know why. I pointed at the whiskey again. "Drink." He didn't. Just sat there looking at me with tears running down his face. I knew I'd be shit at this. I told Maddie I couldn't do it.
"You remember what AK said to you?"
I closed my eyes and remembered AK that day. I remembered what he did, like Maddie said. I just had to tell Ash what AK told me. AK had started by putting his hand on my shoulder. Opening my eyes, I looked down at my hand. I clenched my fingers in a fist. I could do this. I could touch Ash. I had to. Reaching out my hand, fighting the urge to pull it back, I put it on Ash's shoulder. It felt fucking weird. I wanted to pull back, but I imagined Maddie's green eyes. Imagined her smile as I did it. Ash swallowed and met my eyes. I wanted to look away, but I fought the need and repeated, word for word, what AK had said to me. "Come on, Ash. You need a drink." Ash's mouth was open a little, and he looked at my hand on his shoulder out of the corner of his eye. I didn't think he was gonna do shit, but then he brought the whiskey to his mouth and took a sip. All of it. I downed my own. The liquor burned my throat, but it made things better. Ash finished his too, then wiped his cheeks with his forearm. "It gets easier," I said, saying AK's words to Ash in exactly the same way he'd said them to me. "From this moment on, it becomes second nature and don't bother you as much. I promise." Ash blinked, blinked again. I just keep picturing his face as he stared up at me from the ground. My teeth gritted together. "He had brown eyes. I keep seeing his fucking brown eyes, Flame."
"He was scum. He deserved to die. And you saved AK."
A weird pain pulled in my chest at the thought of AK being killed. I didn't like it. I didn't fucking like it. Ash held out his hands in front of him.
"I keep thinking I see blood on my hands. I keep washing them, but I still see blood sometimes."
I had fuck all to say to that. AK hadn't said anything else to me that night years ago. Then Ash looked at me again, and his face screwed up. He was crying. Fuck, he was crying. I tightened my hand on his shoulder, but he just cried more. Panic surged through me. I looked at our bedroom door, but it was shut. I had to get Maddie. She'd know what to do. But then Ash's head fell forward. I didn't like how he looked. It made my heart hurt. I heard Maddie's words in my head.
"Like me, he loves you, and you love him. He is safe for you. He may need to know that he is loved right now. A hug will give him comfort."
I stared at my hand on his shoulder. Everything in me told me to push him away, but when I saw his shoulders fucking shaking, I couldn't. I took a long fucking deep breath and yanked him to my side. I put my arm around his shoulders and brought him into my chest. I squeezed my eyes shut and breathed through my nostrils, trying to fucking calm down. Ash stopped making a sound. I opened my eyes, thinking he would say something to me, that he would look at me and make me push him away. But he didn't. Instead, he gripped onto my cut and cried some more. I stared at the ashes in the fire, just working on keeping my shit together. He was touching me. He was touching me. "He's good," I told myself in my head. "He's your fucking brother." Ash stayed that way for 10 minutes. I counted the minutes in my head in seconds. Eventually, he let go of my cut and lifted his head. His face was red and blotchy. He ducked his eyes from me when I looked at him. Staring across the room, I asked, "You okay now?"
"Yeah,"
he rasped, then cleared his throat.
"Thanks, Flame."
I nodded my head. Something fucking weird burst in my chest. It was warm. I didn't know what it was.
"Sorry for being a fucking pussy," he said.
"Not a pussy," I said. "You killed. You're a hangman. You'll kill again. I don't feel it, but AK told me most people freak out. You freaked out. It's done. Won't happen again."
"Yeah."
It got quiet. Real quiet. I didn't know what else to say, but Ash spoke first.
"Sorry I came here. I just wasn't thinking. And the next thing I knew, I was at your door."
His face was bright red.
"I'll leave soon. Go to Slash or Vike. AK has a full house again."
I didn't like the fact that he'd be going to Slash or Vike.
"You like it in this house?" I asked.
Ash looked up. I saw it in my peripheral vision.
"I love it," he said quietly. "I like being with you and Mads."
"Stay here tonight." I got up from the couch. I couldn't take all this talking shit anymore.
"Really?"
I nodded. "Mads never changed the back room. It's yours."
"Thanks, Flame," Ash said.
I was almost at the bedroom door when I looked back. Ash was on the couch. I glanced at the back room where he would be staying tonight. I thought about him being there every day, and I liked it. I closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and said, "Do you want to live here?" Ash never said shit in response. I opened my eyes, about to just leave him the fuck alone. Ash was on his feet, looking at me from the other side of the couch.
"You mean it?" he asked. "You want me to move in?"
"You got a room. You should use it."
"Yeah,"
he smiled. My jaw clenched. "Don't tell AK yet. Wait till all this shit with Phoebe is done. He might take you leaving bad."
"Okay," Ash said.
I nodded and turned the knob on my bedroom door. I needed to get away now. My head was too full.
"Flame?"
Ash called, making me stop. I didn't look back.
"Thank you."
He was speaking real fucking quiet.
"For everything, I
heard him take a deep breath.
"I think I'm gonna like living here."
I nodded again. I had no words. I pushed through the door and slammed it shut. Maddie stood by the bed, waiting. She was fucking crying too.
"What?"
I jumped forward. "Why are you crying?"
"I love you, Flame,"
she said, taking my hands. I frowned. "I don't understand. Why are you crying?"
"I heard you speak to him,"
she smiled.
"And I heard you ask him to live with us."
"You told me before that I should think about it." "I have. I asked him to move in. He said yes." Maddie threw her arms around my waist.
"I'm so proud of you, Flame," she whispered, and I felt my chest get tight again. "Just when I believe I could not love you even more, you go and prove me wrong."
"I love you too," I said and kissed her head. Then I froze. Every fucking part of me went still. My eyes were on the bed. Maddie had been drawing. Releasing her, I went to the bed and picked up the sketch pad. Ice filled me, and I looked up at Maddie for answers. She shrugged.
"It is not true yet, and I know that it may be a while before we are ready."
She came toward me, and I stared at the picture again. I didn't know what the fuck was happening in my heart and my stomach, but I felt hot and cold, fucking confused.
"It is just something I wonder if we could have one day."
Maddie laid her head on my bicep. Her hand ran down the picture. I was there. She was too, and in her arms was a baby.
"I did not know if we could ever do it, but hearing you with Ash just now made me believe that, perhaps one day, when we are stronger still, that we could."
"Maddie." I looked down at her head on my arm. I swallowed and tried to imagine her like May was now, stomach growing. And I didn't feel the flames heat up. In fact, they calmed. Maddie lifted her head. She smiled. I kissed her mouth and said, "Maybe. One day." Then I kissed her again, still holding the picture in my hand.
Chapter 23. Phoebe. My eyes fluttered open at the feel of someone's hand on my forehead. "Phoebe?" a familiar voice said. "Hmm?" I murmured, not wanting to leave the woods. Yet the hand pulled me away. My soul yearned for that touch, for the heart of the person that soul belonged to, a magnet's pull. "Phoebe," he said again, and I opened my eyes. As the room came into view, I smiled. "AK," I said, and felt my heart fill with light. "Yeah," he said gruffly. "I need you to wake. You've been asleep for a couple of days now." As his words sank into my bliss, I felt a darkness begin to puncture the light. My mind raced, showing me things I did not want to face. Meister dying under my hands, Grace screaming, and then Safira's body in my arms, her hand growing limp in my own. "Safira!" I cried, the impact of her loss instantly too much to endure. I wrapped my arm around my stomach and tried to find some release as the sadness gripped me. I felt arms cradle me and pull me to a hard chest. AK. I knew his scent. "I cannot take this," I whispered, and let the tears fall. "Red," he put his hand under my chin, forcing me to lift my head. "Look at me." I did as he said, and his handsome face came into view. "She's alive." I stopped moving. I stopped breathing as his words washed over me. "She lived. Safira, she lived." Shock rendered me speechless, numbing me completely. "What?" I eventually choked out, reaching out to steady myself on his wrists. "She's alive. Fuck, Red, she's awake. And she's asking for you. She's asking for her mother." My chest tightened, and my breath shook as I listened to his words. "She died in my arms. She was born into my arms, and I was there as she died, too. My baby. My girl. I saw her both arrive and leave me." "She didn't die, Red." His head turned in the direction of the bedroom next door. "She's through there, and she just woke up. She wants you. She's scared, and she wants her mom." AK's voice was husky and raw. His eyes shone as he looked at me, and I could tell by his face that he was not lying. "She is here. With me," I said, the words sounding like a trick. AK nodded, and devastation hit me. "I thought she was gone. I thought I had not saved her. I thought she died trying to save me, and I could not bear the burden that she would have died for me when I should have died for her." Tears flooded my eyes, and I choked on my sorrow. AK's hands cupped my face and tilted my head up. "Because she loves you, Red. She never knew you as her mother, but when it came to it, she took that fucking bullet for you, because you loved her even when you were held back from telling her." He nodded. "She knew. She fucking knew." I fell into his chest and broke down. I held onto his shirt and I shook my head. "I am sorry. I am so sorry. What I did, after what happened to your brother." I heard AK fight back his sorrow. "Just don't fucking do it again." He wrapped his arms around me. I looked up at his kind eyes. "I kinda like having you around." He tried to smile, then kissed my lips. It hurt, and I flinched, but he was gentle and brief. "Now get in that room and see your kid. This time it's on your terms, Red. She needs you." "She needs me," I said. Nerves fluttered inside. Taking AK's hand, I got out of the bed. I was dressed in a long nightgown that Bella had given me. My body ached, but I had to get to Saphira. When we arrived at her closed door, my hands started to shake. I turned to AK. What if I cannot do it? He looked at me curiously. What if I am bad at this? At being a mother? Impossible. He tucked my hair behind my ear. You were fucking made for this moment, Red. All the shit, it led you right to this moment. He was perfect. I slowly turned the knob and opened the door. I could not contain the emotions that hit me as I saw Saphira, clean and awake, in the center of the neatly made bed. Her brown eyes were scared and large, but when they saw me nervously enter the room, they filled with something else entirely. Gone was the fear, and in their place was love. Love and happiness, and it saw my heart soar to an unknown height. Saphira, I whispered, my voice breaking as the sob I tried to hold back came forward. I walked as fast as I could to her bed and sat on the edge. Careful of her injury, I stared down at my daughter. I had never felt so blessed. Her fingers twitched on the bed, as if they craved my touch, as if they needed me. I softly threaded my fingers through hers. I sighed, and she sighed. Meeting her watery gaze, I said, I thought I had lost you. Saphira smiled and shook her head. Then her hand gripped mine tighter. I thought I had lost you too. Her voice was as sweet as it had been in my dream. You saved me, I said, feeling my heart break at the memory. I had to. She tried to get closer. I moved for her, placing my hand on her soft cheek. Marks still remained, but she had been cleaned. She looked like an angel. My angel. I could not imagine a world without you in it. My eyes snapped to hers, and her skin blossomed with an embarrassed blush. You could not? I whispered, and I felt each of her words cement a permanent place in my heart. No. A single tear fell down her smooth cheek. You are my mother. I watched her try to smile through her tears. An elated laugh came from my throat, and I kissed her head. Yes, I am, I said, and could not help but smile. I sighed and moved back. Saphira looked to the doorway. I followed her gaze and saw AK standing there. I smiled when his dark eyes met mine. That is AK. He tilted his head in a hello. Turning back to my daughter, I said, He is my love, a part of my heart. The one you told me about? She asked shyly, ducking her head from his attention. Yes. I met my aunt, Lila, she smiled. I like her. She cleaned me when I woke. I closed my eyes, embracing the wash of joy I felt as I thought of my beloved sister caring for my precious daughter. I heard AK move from the door, and Saphira watched him go. Do we get to live the life you spoke of now? The one you told me existed if we only survived? Yes, I squeezed her hand. We get to live the way we always should have. Her eyes fell nervously. I get to be your daughter here? A pause. A real daughter? If you want that, I said, praying with every fiber of my being that she said yes. She looked at me again through long lashes. Do I get to call you Mama? The last word was a whisper, but it was a grace, a blessing pure and simple, a softly spoken pardon for all of my wrongs. A new start. Yes, I said, and took her gently in my arms. Yes. Then my heart bloomed when she whispered, Mama. I closed my eyes and savored the sound. 14 years. 14 years to hear that uttered from her lips. Mama, what about the others? The other sisters that had been captured? My heart broke. They have gone, sweetheart, no trace, and I fear no hope. The men here have tried to seek them out the best they can, but their whereabouts are tragically unknown. Saphira was silent at that news. I was not sure she could take any more sadness. My daughter had had her fill in her young life. Mama, Saphira said softly a few moments later, can you stay with me while I fall to sleep? Of course, I said, almost breaking with joy. I laid my body beside Saphira on the bed and wrapped my arm around her shoulders. She fell against me and gave a happy sigh. Will you tell me about this world? She asked, tiredness in her quiet voice. It is like nothing we ever knew, sweetheart. I closed my eyes and thought of AK. I thought of his kindness, his laughter, his pure heart. I thought of Lila laughing as she ran over her lawn with Grace. And I told her of it all the good we were robbed of in our lives, and I knew my girl would now get to see these things too. It was not long before I heard her breathing steadily with sleep. I looked down at her asleep in my arms, and a realization hit me. I had finally done it. I had stayed with my daughter, telling her a story as she fell asleep. And I would never have to leave her again. She was safe, and I was forever changed, all because of one man. I bent down and kissed her head. I will never let you down. This is my solemn vow. Leaving her to rest, I made my way from the bedroom and followed the smell of AK's cigarette smoke. He was sitting at the kitchen table, lost in thought. He wore a white shirt with his leather vest and his dark jeans. His long hair was resting on his shoulders. All the time, all I could think was, he is mine. He must have heard my feet on the floor as his head turned toward me. I moved beside him and placed my hands on his cheeks. I saw the confusion in his eyes and said, you have saved us. My voice caught, but I kept pushing through. You did the impossible and gave me my daughter. You gave me a chance to be a mother. AK swallowed and exhaled deeply. And you gave me back the beat to my heart. I kissed each of his cheeks. I love you, Xavier Dais. I love you more than I knew was possible. You are my grace. You are my redemption. Red, he said roughly. I sat on his lap, sighing when his hands wrapped around my back. I stared into his beautiful eyes. You have given me this gift, this moment where my hell has ended, and now you need it too. Save yourself the way you try so hard to save everybody else. He looked away, but I guided him back to me. I will be here with you, as will your family. I pointed out of the window. Viking, Flame, and Asher, and Saphira too. We will all be here for you. He watched me. He watched me for so long that I knew he had become lost to his thoughts. Then he kissed me gently, reverently, before bringing me to my feet. I gotta make a call, he said, and walked outside. Tan? I heard him say. I need your help in tracking someone down. And I smiled as I sat at the wooden kitchen table and looked about the cabin. I heard the birds singing outside. I heard the sounds of Flame and Viking coming over to talk to their best friend. And I knew this was it. This was the life I never thought I would gain. AK and Saphira, forever by my side. I was home.
Chapter 24. AK. 2 weeks later. I pulled my bike to a stop at the address Tanner had given me. Fucking Alston. The house had been in Alston, right beside me all along. Phoebe's arms tightened around my waist, and her mouth came to my ear. Are you okay? I closed my eyes, and all I could see was Dev and Tina. I saw them only in my head now that the terrors had stopped. Nothing would stop the nightmares, the memories, but things were better. Yeah, I said, and knew we both understood I was a fucking liar.
Phoebe's arms came from my waist, and she got off the bike. She stood on the sidewalk, dressed in leather, her long red hair back in a French braid. Fucking perfection. She held out her hand.
"We are here now, A.K. Let us go to the door."
I got off my bike, fucking clenching my fists as my hands shook, and no matter how many deep breaths I took, I couldn't calm myself. I knew I wouldn't be able to, because I knew how wrong this shit could go. I was under no illusions. I expected to have the door shut in my face and the cops called on my ass. For all I knew, they wanted me for breaking Dev out of the nut house all those years ago. No doubt Claire and Tom would have told them my part in it. I gripped Phoebe's hand as we walked up the path to the massive white-painted house. Part of me relaxed at the sight of such an expensive place. Zane grew up here. He'd had more money than Dev or Tina could have ever given him. Not that money meant shit, but at least he hadn't been in a shithole. When we arrived at the door, Phoebe leaned into me. I looked at her freckled face, and she smiled in encouragement. "This probably won't go well," I said in a warning.
"I know,"
she replied, then nodded at the door. I lifted my hand and knocked three times. I stood back, waiting. I looked down at myself and wondered if Claire would even recognize me. I was wearing faded jeans and a black shirt, and my cut. My hair was long, and the last time she'd seen me, it was still short, and fuck knows how I'd aged. The door opened. Phoebe's hand squeezed mine as I slowly looked up into Claire's older but familiar face. It took her a while to see who I was. Then I saw her eyes widen.
"Xavier?"
she whispered, bringing her hand to her mouth. Her eyes tracked over me, studying how I looked. "Claire?" My fucking voice was raw.
"I don't believe it."
She shook her head. Her hand dropped from her mouth. I braced myself for her wrath, braced for her to tell me to get the fuck gone. But instead she sighed.
"We've been looking for you for a real long time."
I froze. I froze and felt Phoebe take in a long inhale. Claire pointed to the table and chairs on her wide front porch.
"That's it. Tea?"
I still couldn't speak, so I was thankful when Phoebe smiled and said,
"Yes, please, thank you."
Claire went back into the house and we sat down.
"This is good,"
Phoebe said, and brought my hand to her lips. She kissed the back of my hand. I thought she was gonna slam the door in our face. I looked across at the picturesque suburban street. She blamed me, Red. She fucking told me to my face that it was all my fault.
"It was not,"
Phoebe said vehemently. I smiled at her defense of me. I wasn't sure I'd ever forgive myself for what I did, but I fucking appreciated how she wouldn't stop trying till I did. Claire came back outside and placed down the tea. She handed us each a glass and nervously sat in the seat opposite me, running her hands over her floral dress.
"Tom was transferred from Plano when Zane was 12.
I stilled as she mentioned my nephew's name.
"We'd heard you had come to Austin, too, and from the minute we arrived, before that, in fact, we've been searching for you."
"Why?" I asked, gruffly. Claire's shoulders sagged.
"Because he missed you, Xavier. He missed you so much."
I didn't expect the fucking lump to build in my throat, but then I didn't expect that Zane had wanted me. After everything.
"It was a lot, you know. Losing Tina and Dev like he did, the way he did. His parents gone in such a violent way. But what I will never forgive myself for was him losing you too."
Claire straightened her shoulders and flicked away a tear that had fallen from her eye.
"I was so hurt by what Dev had done to Tina. I was so angry, was so blinded by fury that I believed I was doing best by sending you from his life."
She regarded me with guilt in her gaze.
"I blamed you."
Her words were a fucking blow to my chest.
"I blamed you and thought you would hurt Zane too."
My hand tightened around the glass in my hand. "It was my fault." I looked down at the ice melting in my tea. "I fucked up.
I fucked up in all the shit that came to Dev and Tina. Fuck. To Zane? It was all on me.
Hey, Kay,
Phoebe said in a hushed voice and clutched my arm. But I couldn't look at my bitch. If I did, I knew I would fucking break.
He had PTSD, Xavier,
Claire said, and I lifted my head.
I had to have a lot of counseling. It took me years to deal with her death.
Claire choked on a sob.
She was my baby sister, and he killed her. Dev, the boy she had loved since high school. I couldn't comprehend it. Couldn't believe it.
She pulled herself together.
But over the years, I had it explained to me in such a way that I do understand now.
She sniffed.
What Dev went through in Iraq.
I tensed.
The little help he got when he returned, left to fend off the darkness alone. I can understand how it happened. He never truly came back. He remained living in that time until he died.
She swallowed.
It still hurts. And there isn't a day goes by that I don't think of Tina. Especially if Zane does something that she would have done. A gesture, an expression, a saying a certain word.
Her face crumpled.
It has been very hard.
I know, I said, and felt my own fucking tears rising.
But I was wrong. That boy didn't cope well with losing Dev and Tina.
Claire glanced away to gain composure. When she looked back, she said,
But you were his best friend. He idolized you above anyone, and he knew you were out there somewhere. He didn't understand why you weren't coming to see him. I told him it was me. I told him I had sent you away because I was angry, and he hated me. For a while there, he had a real hard time.
She blinked, her eye makeup running some.
But he is a good kid, Xavier, a kind boy, smart boy.
She broke down, and I held out my hand and covered hers, and was trembling.
They would have been so proud of him.
She laughed sadly.
He looks like you, just like Dev, like a Deus man.
My head dropped as she told me that. Her hand flipped under mine and she squeezed my fingers. I still couldn't fucking look up.
He begged us to look for you. He wanted you so badly. His Uncle X. We cashed in every favor we could with friends and the police, government, but it was like you had fallen off the grid.
I had, I said when I could finally look at her again. My cheeks were fucking wet, but this was Zane she was talking about. My fucking nephew wanting to see me, needing me, and I wasn't fucking there for him. After everything he'd gone through, I hadn't been there.
We had to give up, eventually.
Claire shook her head.
But every time we go out anywhere, he looks for you. We believed you were in Austin, so he never stops looking.
Claire's eyebrows came down.
And here you are, at our door.
It was time to come find him, I said. I felt Phoebe's cheek land on my arm.
He'll be home soon.
Claire checked her watch.
School will have gotten out. He'll be here any minute now.
The nerves that accosted me were so fucking strong that I had to fight to fucking breathe. Then I felt Phoebe tense beside me. I didn't look up. By her reaction, I knew he was here somewhere.
He does look just like you,
she said, her voice thick with emotion. That was all it took for me to raise my head. I heard the gate open before I saw him. He was looking at my bike. His head turned in that direction as he walked up the path. Then he turned. He turned and looked toward the porch. Brown eyes, long brown hair, jeans, a white shirt, and black boots on his feet. Fuck. It took him a second to see me, but when I stood, looking right into his eyes, I saw his brief confusion come clear. And I fucking saw the recognition hit home. He was tall, like me, and for a 15-year-old, fairly stacked. But it was his fucking eyes that I couldn't get past, because looking back at me was Dev. My brother was looking at me through his kid. His backpack hit the ground. He stood dead still.
Uncle X?
He said. and it sliced right through me. His voice, that I once knew as belonging to a kid, had dropped. He sounded just like Dev now, too. "Hey, kid," I stepped forward, but I stopped when I saw his eyes close and his head drop. I panicked, panicked that he didn't want me here after all. But when a low sound came from his mouth, and he launched forward up the steps to the porch and wrapped his arms around me, I fucking broke. The kid was crying, fucking holding me so damn hard that I fucking broke too. I held on tight to my nephew and wasn't sure I could ever let go. Last time he was in my arms, like this, he was little and thin. Now he was anything but it still felt the same. My chest still felt as fucking big. "I've missed you," he said, and I clenched my eyes shut. "Missed you too, kid," I said hoarsely. Zane pulled back his head and searched my face. "I don't blame you," he said. I had to turn my head from his gaze. "I know he was sick from the war, but I don't blame you for anything you did. You tried to help him." "Fuck, kid." I wiped my eyes with my forearm. Zane stepped back and I saw him looking at my cut. His watery eyes widened. "You're in the hangman?" His eyes lit up. "Yeah," I replied, confused how he even knew who the fuck we were. You'd think I'd just told the kid I was Jesus fucking Christ by his reaction. "I see them all the time riding through downtown." He focused on my cut. "AK," he read. "That's your road name?" I nodded, a smirk on my lips. "You like bikes?" Zane put his hands in his pockets and nodded. He looked over his shoulder at my bike.
"That's yours?"
"Yeah."
"Aunt Claire," Zane asked, "can I show Uncle X the garage?"
"Sure,"
she said, smiling. I caught Phoebe watching, her fucking heart breaking. I held up my hand and pulled her to my side. "Zane, Phoebe, Phoebe, Zane." "Phoebe's my old lady," I said to my nephew. Phoebe shook his hand.
"Very nice to meet you, Zane," she said. "I've heard so much about you."
"You have?"
he asked in shock.
"Yes," she smiled. "And I have seen many of your pictures, too."
I saw the kid about to fall apart again, so I put my hand on his shoulder. "The garage?" Zane exhaled deeply, then led me around the back of the house. He opened the garage and flicked on the light. I didn't make it through the doorway. I didn't move a damn step when I recognized the bike that sat in the middle of the garage floor. "Is that?"
"Dad's." "Yeah," Zane said.
The word, dad, hit me like a blow to the chest. He moved beside the old Harley-Davidson lowrider, more rust than anything now. Zane crouched down beside it and ran his hand gently over the seat.
"Dad never cared much for it when he came back from Iraq. After they died, Aunt Claire put it in storage with all their other stuff. She couldn't look at anything until a year ago, and that's when I saw it."
He stood.
"She let me bring it home and work on it."
"You work on bikes?" I asked, suddenly feeling Dev's presence beside me. His kid liked bikes too. It was always the plan. Serve our country, drink beers, and just fucking ride when we were home from tour. I always imagined Zane doing the same one day. I wasn't too far wrong.
"I love them."
He came over all shy.
"I ain't too good at them yet. Learning mostly off YouTube and shit like that, but I'm getting better, I think."
"YouTube?" I shook my head. Zane laughed at my horrified reaction. I stepped further into the garage and ran my hand over the bars of the bike, remembering Dev riding beside me, fucking free with the wind. A good memory, for once. "You want to learn from real mechanics? Bikers who know what the fuck they're doing." Zane's mouth dropped open.
"You serious?"
"As a heart attack. My brothers know a thing or two about this shit." I winked at him, and he burst out laughing.
"Yeah,"
he answered quickly. He paused.
"At the hangman compound?"
"Course."
"I ain't able to ride bikes yet, though. Aunt Claire says I'm not allowed until I'm older."
"Fuck that shit, I'll teach you," I said, and Zane swallowed.
"Yeah?"
he croaked.
"Yeah."
He stared at me.
and I stared at him. "You look like him," I said, and my fucking heart cracked. Zane bowed his head. "I miss him. I miss them both so fucking much," he said, his voice breaking. I put my hand on the back of his head and pulled him into my chest. "I fucking miss him too. Both of them." Zane didn't say shit for about 30 seconds, then said quietly, "And I miss you, X. So damn much." "Never again, yeah?" I said, and fought harder than ever before not to fall apart. "You mean that?" He grabbed hold of my shirt like he was scared I would disappear. "I swear it." "Good," he said softly. We stayed like that for a fucking age, and eventually, I could breathe. For the first time in years, I could breathe. "You want to come to a cookout soon, stay for a few days at the compound, then the lodge?" Zane stepped back and wiped his eyes with his shirt.
"With the hangman?"
"Yeah," I laughed at the excitement on his face. "They'll be there, introduce you to my road brothers and best friends, Little Ash, too."
"Little Ash?"
"You'll like him, kid, about your age, likes bikes."
"Cool,"
Zane said, then fucking smiled. "Yeah. Cool."
Phoebe. By the time we returned to the cabin, it was dark. AK and I had spent the evening with his nephew. He caught AK up on what he had missed. School, life events, plenty. I did not understand most of what they talked about, but I did not care. It was blessing enough to see him reunited with his nephew. He was happy. "Saf staying with Lai tonight?" AK asked as he closed our cabin's door. "Yes," I replied, and turned to stand at AK's chest. I ran my hands down his cut, threading my hands underneath and pushing it off his shoulders. His breathing changed, his nostrils flaring under my touch.
"What you doing, Red?"
he asked, his voice low. I moved my hands to the hem of his shirt and pulled it up over his toned, muscled stomach. His tattoos stood bright against his olive skin. I pulled the shirt over his head and dropped it to the floor. Leaning forward, I peppered kisses across his chest, moving to lick around his nipple. AK hissed and pushed his fingers through my hair.
"Red, you ain't ready."
I looked into his eyes. "I went to the doctor yesterday with Lila. I was given the all clear, as they say." He searched my eyes, then moved his hand to my cheek.
"Even so, not sure you're ready in there."
He tapped my head with his free hand. I closed my eyes, letting the fact of how much he cared for me take root. A strange concept indeed. I let my forehead press against his and spoke from my heart. "I need you." I did not want Meister's touch to be the last on my body any longer. There is only one man's touch I ever want on my body again, given freely and lovingly. I met his dark gaze. "Yours."
"Red," AK murmured.
I led him to our bedroom, closing the door behind us. I unbuttoned his jeans and pulled them off his legs. I stepped back as AK stood before me, gloriously naked. I slipped my jacket, tank, and bra from my torso, then slid my leather pants down my legs. I never broke AK's stare as I removed my panties and stood up straight.
"Beautiful,"
AK said, his voice raspy, as I held out my hand. He took it without hesitation, and I led him to the bed. I lay down, and he lay beside me. I stared into his eyes and pressed my mouth against his own. I let my lips worship his lips and let my heart fall into perfect sync with his. I moved over his chest, moaning as his rough hands landed on my back. His soft tongue pushed into my mouth, and I could taste him. I felt his hands on my skin, felt his heat merge with mine. I felt it all. I allowed myself to feel it all. I did not block out a single second. Breaking from his mouth, I kissed down his neck and chest. I kissed his torso and moved down to the muscled V that led to his manhood. AK groaned as his legs shifted in anticipation. Taking his length in my hand, I looked up into his eyes to see them glazed and dazed as he stared.